Hey, how's it going? This is Joshua Terry. You're listening to the Joshua Terry Podcast. I really appreciate you for listening. It has been a very, very long time. The last episode went up in July when we did a NFL season preview and picked division winners with Ethan Garner. I apologize for the long absence. I don't like doing this by myself. I much prefer to do this with someone. It's hard to find time in everybody's schedule to make time to do something like this for fun for me. Really, it's more for me than it is for them. So I appreciate it whenever people do get a chance to come on. No excuses, though. If I really care enough to do it, I should do it on my own, too. We should see some more of that pretty soon. Today, I wanted to talk about NFL playoffs. They start today. It's 11:30 Central Time where I'm at. And I just want to get into, first, how my division picks went. That was the last episode that we did. Like I said, I want to get into that, how that went. And I want to talk about just the first round of playoffs. Not going to do an NFL season recap right now. We'll do that on another episode really soon. We'll talk about a lot of the storylines going into the playoffs with a lot of these teams anyway. Not picking MVPs or anything like that. Just going to talk about first round of playoffs. And we'll get into it here right now. First thing, I want to talk about how went on my division picks. So I'll just go through each one. For NFC South, I had the Buccaneers. AFC East, I had the Bills. NFC North, I had the Vikings. AFC South, I had the Colts. AFC North, I had the Bengals. NFC West, I had the Rams. NFC East, I had the Eagles. And AFC West, I had the Chargers. So when you hear that, a lot of right, couple wrong. Happy with how they went, though, for the most part. I actually think that had things gone a little bit better injury-wise, I might have even been able to get a little bit more than what I ended up with. So going through each one, briefly, the ones I got right, Buccaneers, Bills, Vikings, Eagles, and Bengals. Pretty chalk on most of those, except for the Cowboys were actually favored to win over the Eagles. Eagles were the number one team in the NFL for most of the year. Vikings were not the favorite to win that going into it. The Packers were. I'm happy with that one. We'll talk a little bit more about the Vikings here in a little bit, why I'm not super thrilled about how they look right now. And the other one was the Bengals I picked over the Ravens. Now, I was shocked that the Ravens were actually favored, just looking at how the Bengals played at the end of last year, and then how they, on paper, had improved their offensive line going into the season. They definitely had some struggles early on, but they seemed like they had tightened it up towards the middle of the season, and they went on a good roll there. So, pretty good on my picks. The Rams, obviously, was the biggest L, or the Colts, probably, but we'll talk about the Rams really quick. Rams, so many injuries. They ended up with Baker Mayfield at starting quarterback by the end of the year. Matthew Stafford got hurt, Cooper Kupp got hurt, Cam Akers was AWOL for most of the beginning of the season, and their other wide receiver, Allen Robinson, pickup did not go at all like how anybody, I don't think, imagined it would. He was pretty abysmal for most of the year. The Colts, absolute dumpster fire. Going into the season, I liked them, thinking that, you know, if Carson Wentz could almost make the playoffs last year, Matt Ryan should be able to make the playoffs with pretty much the same roster. Jonathan Taylor, obviously, and Michael Pittman on offense with a decent offensive line. And their defense, actually, pretty good defense. That whole organization has been a dumpster fire for the last couple years. Should have taken that into account. And that, it turned out to be their downfall. They have Jeff Saturday as their interim coach. And ended up kind of turning into a joke by the end of the season. So, pretty decent on my picks. I'm not super upset with how they went. Obviously, a winning record is good. If I bet money on each one, I would have came out in the positive. So, very happy with how that went. So, let's get into the playoffs. First game on Saturday at 3:30 Central, where I'm at. Seahawks at the 49ers. 49ers are probably the biggest juggernaut going into the playoffs right now. They've won 10 in a row, I believe. Their story on how they got here is pretty unbelievable. They start the season with Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo's not even with the team. Trey Lance breaks his ankle on the first or second game of the season. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in. Offense looks pretty good. They look like they're happy to be playing with Garoppolo. Then he gets hurt a few games into the season. And then we bring in their current quarterback, Brock Purdy. Now, Brock Purdy, the very last pick of the draft, quoted or dubbed Mr. Irrelevant. So, the fact that he is undefeated, 6-0 as a starter, and their offense is rolling with him. Their defense is thrashing teams. You can't run on them. You can't pass on them. They are absolutely a juggernaut going into these playoffs. The Seahawks have one of the more feel-good stories of the season also. They traded Russell Wilson in the offseason. They didn't look great last year. And everybody was just kind of out on the Seahawks before the season. And most people had them towards the bottom of their power rankings. And I believe I was one of those people. Now, enter Geno Smith. Week one, they play the Broncos. Geno Smith looks phenomenal. And they're playing against the team that they traded their quarterback to, the Denver Broncos, in Seattle. And they win. And Geno Smith absolutely outplayed Russell Wilson in that game. Not going to get into Russell Wilson right now. He had a tumultuous season as it is. Geno Smith, stats on the season. 4,282 yards, breaking the Seahawks franchise record. 30 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Fantastic stats. He's going to end up getting signed maybe up to $30 million a year. Maybe not a long-term deal, but he could end up getting a franchise tag or an extension. He's earned it. He actually made the Pro Bowl. However, as good as they looked early in the season on offense, their defense looked terrible. And then as their defense started to play better, their offense stopped playing well. They do have some great skill positions with Kenneth Walker, the rookie running back, DK Metcalf, obviously, on wide receiver. And they still have Tyler Lockett. So, interesting matchup. These are divisional teams. 49ers just seem to have their number. In their last two matchups, I think the only time that the Seahawks scored a touchdown was in the final 2 minutes of the last game, and they were down big. So it's not a great matchup for the Seahawks. They really play physical on Metcalf, which is what you have to do. He doesn't, as big as he is and muscular as he is, he doesn't like to be hit at the beginning of the play. It kind of throws him off his rhythm. He's really he's not a big route tree guy. He's got a couple, you know, downfield routes that he does over the middle and stuff like that. But I like the 49ers going into this game. The line is 9.5, and there's a good chance that this game could get ugly with just the way that the 49ers can pressure Geno, who, for a guy that can run, he much prefers to stand in the pocket. Nick Bosa has a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year on defense for the 49ers, and I just don't see this changing for how it went against them in their first two matchups of the year. So, my pick for that game, 49ers. All right, next game tonight at 7:15 is probably one of the most interesting games of the playoffs. We have the LA Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the line on this game is 1.5, favoring the Chargers. Now, something that's kind of interesting is ESPN has their matchup predictor. They actually have Jacksonville with a 61% chance to win. They played early in the year, and the Jacksonville Jaguars actually embarrassed the Chargers. However, this is a completely different team, in my opinion, that we're seeing with the Chargers right now than what we saw early in the season. There's a lot of variables that go into this. Some interesting things. I believe this is the first time that we have two quarterbacks making their debuts against each other. I might be wrong about that. No, that's definitely not true. But Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, taken in the same draft. Lawrence was the number one pick. Herbert was shortly after that, I believe he was the third or fourth pick. He went right after Tua. But if you look at these two teams, they're built very similarly. You have a lot of guys that want to pass the ball. Lawrence, obviously, has a big arm. Justin Herbert might have the best arm in the league. Etienne had a very good year coming off of his injury last year as a rookie. 220 yards, 1,125 yards, and 5 touchdowns for Etienne. He's really dynamic. He likes to catch it out of the backfield. Christian Kirk, big offseason signing for the Jaguars also. And he had a good season as well, over 1,000 yards. Now, the Chargers, at the beginning of the season when they played against each other, Herbert basically was playing with broken ribs. They were missing Joey Bosa, and Keenan Allen didn't play either. All of those guys are going to be playing today, except we don't have Mike Williams for the Chargers, which is huge. So if Mike Williams was playing, I would definitely pick the Chargers and not feel bad about it at all. I think I'm still going to pick the Chargers just because I think that they've improved so much. I think that the way that they're going to play defense is going to be a lot different than how they played in the first game. Lawrence was able to kind of dink and dunk his way up the field very methodically. But they also played a different style of offense in the way that they ran the ball. They've traded James Robinson since then. He's really more of a power back. And Etienne didn't get a whole lot of touches in that game. And he is more of a quick finesse kind of runner. So I think we're going to see a lot of passing. The defenses are improved for both teams over the course of the season. Chargers and Jaguars both didn't look great last week, but Jaguars ended up pulling out a win over Josh Dobbs and the Titans, who are a feisty team at least. Chargers really didn't have a whole lot to play for in their game, so they didn't play their starters the whole game, so we don't really know how they would have ended up finishing that game out. I am going to pick the Chargers just because I think that they just have much more talent on defense, and they're getting healthier. They're much healthier than they were early in the season. Jacksonville is a great story. They are playing at home. I will not be surprised if the Jaguars win this game. And honestly, I don't really have a preference personally on who wins this game. I like both of those guys. I like Trevor Lawrence. I love Justin Herbert. I think Herbert personally has the best arm in the league. I really do. And I know that's kind of crazy to say when you have guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes out there. But the way that he can just throw it on a dime, he misses less often than those other two guys, I think is probably why I like him more. And he wins in spite of bad coaching. The Chargers absolutely have a tendency to shoot themselves in the foot and lose in the weirdest ways possible. So do not be shocked if that happens as well. I'm going with the Chargers in this game, but I will not be shocked either way. All right, next game, not going to talk about it a whole lot. Dolphins at Bills. They're in Buffalo. Bills are playing inspired football, obviously, after what happened with DeMar Hamlin. So glad that he's doing better. The line for this game is 13.5. I don't see any feasible way that this game stays close. You have Skylar Thompson is going to be starting for the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill is kind of busted up a little bit. They actually played a decent game against the Bills with Tua earlier this year. But I just don't see it unless they're able to run the ball and run the ball a lot down the Buffalo Bills' throats. Buffalo obviously has Josh Allen, MVP candidate, Stephon Diggs. Their defense is not as good as what it started out the year as. The Patriots were able to move the ball on them last week. We've seen teams be able to run the ball on them a little bit, and that's kind of how you have to keep it close. I do think that the Bills are going to be playing with a fire that we haven't seen in a while, and I just don't see this game being close. Too much talent deficit for the Dolphins going into this game, and if Tyreek Hill's not 100%, I don't see any way that Skylar Thompson's really able to do much. Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, maybe the biggest X factors of this game for the Dolphins. We'll see. I in a picks pool with a bunch of friends, we just pick 5 games every week against the spread and see who's doing the best. I actually haven't done this great this year. But for this game, if I was betting on it, I wouldn't even be scared to pick 13.5. 2 touchdowns doesn't seem like a lot when it's Josh Allen versus Skylar Thompson. Hayden, if you're listening, by the way, you're going to owe me $1. After the Bills win this game. All right, next game. Sunday, 3:30, we have Giants at Vikings. This is one of the most interesting matchups that we've seen. I believe that they played earlier this year, and the Vikings pulled out a close win. Out of the 13 wins that they have, at least 11 of these games have been one-score games for the Vikings. Now, coming into this season, I was looking at the coaching change, and I talked about it whenever me and Ethan did our podcast. And one of the biggest things that I said was last year they lost so many one-score games, and this year just flipped it. They have like a minus 14-point differential for the season. When they lose, it's a blowout. When they've won, it's been very close games, crazy comebacks. They have beaten some good teams. They beat the Bills. So it's not like they can't do it. And they have a generational wide receiver, absolutely amazing wide receiver with Justin Jefferson. I just think that the coaching for the Giants has been absolutely superb. Coming into this season, Daniel Jones had his fifth-year option decline. He's likely going to get re-signed to an extension. Saquon Barkley has had a renaissance, and they're winning games ugly. They're winning games with power and with a wide receiver core whose number one receiver is Darius Slayton. Kenny Golladay was supposed to be their big free agent signing, and he has had one touchdown, and it was last week against third stringers. All that being said, I like the Giants in this game. I think that their defense, especially with Kayvon Thibodeau over the last few weeks just thrashing people, is going to get pressure on Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins does not do well against against pressure. We've seen Justin Jefferson get completely taken out of games a few times. We saw that in the Packers game just 2 weeks ago, and they got blown out in that game. If they're not able to get the ball to him, they haven't been able to run the ball very well. Dalvin Cook does have over 1,000 yards, but I can't remember, other than a couple games where he popped some big ones, a game where they controlled the game with their running game. I do think that the Vikings defense is probably the worst that we have in the playoffs right now as well. Patriots, in that game that they lost, I watched that game very closely, were able to move the ball all over them. Mac Jones has a career high, and that's with Matt Patricia calling plays, career high in yardage against the Vikings. So I don't see why Daniel Jones, the way that he's able to move around in the outside of the pocket, throw the ball to these no-name receivers. Brian Daboll, probably going to win Coach of the Year. Well-deserved. I think that they'll have a great time getting into this. And not only that, Giants have no injured players right now on their injury report. So they're healthy coming into this game. So I like the Vikings. I mean, I like the Giants. Vikings are at home. It's a three-point line. I honestly think the Giants can win this game outright if they come up with a good plan to stop Justin Jefferson and if they can pressure the quarterback for the Vikings, Kirk Cousins. All right, two more games. Tomorrow night, 7:15, Bengals at home against the Ravens, who do not have Lamar Jackson. His injury situation has been a weird one. I'm not going to talk about this game for too much. I like the Bengals in this game. The line appears to be 8.5 for the Bengals. It's moved a lot. I believe it started at 6 or 6.5. Bengals should win this game at home. Joe Burrow is a surgeon. He throws the ball deep, throws the ball short with such amazing accuracy. Had some interception problems. I do think a lot of that had to do with how he had appendix surgery in the preseason and missed a lot of practice early in the year. The line wasn't able to block for him very well. They couldn't really find a great rhythm early in the year. But I do think a lot of that is missed practice. As a quarterback, as an offensive line, you have to play together. You did sort of see them come together later in the season and play better for the Bengals. Weird thing, though, are the injuries for the Bengals. They've lost Alex Kappa, and that's a big, big injury for their offensive line. I do think that the Ravens' defense is really good. They made a fantastic trade for Roquan Smith from the Bears. Absolute steal. Paid him a whole lot of money a couple days ago to stay there long term. However, is it going to be Tyler Huntley playing? We're not sure. We already know that it's not going to be Lamar Jackson. Their receiver core is absolutely dreadful. They just cut Deshaun Watson to pick up Sammy Watkins, if that tells you anything. It's not a great look. Bengals should be able to run the ball, should be able to throw the ball. Their defense should be able to contain this offense. Now, one thing that is kind of a big what if, though, is these are divisional teams, and this division, for some reason, always ends up being close games. These ugly, fun-to-watch games where they're just biting each other's knees, and it ends up being low-scoring. I could see that happening just because of who they are. But on paper, the Bengals should win this game at home. and they should win handily considering the way that their Ravens offense is looking right now. As long as they can block, and that's been an issue. If they can figure out how to keep Joe Burrow protected, there's no reason they shouldn't win this game. All right, last game. Very, very, very interesting game. Very weird season for both of these teams. We have the Buccaneers at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are 12-5 coming into this game, and the Buccaneers have a losing record. I believe this is the first time and only time that Tom Brady has ever had a losing record. But they still made the playoffs because their division is awful. The only team that really had a chance to match that was the Carolina Panthers. And they started PJ Walker for a few games. I'm not going to get too much into that because that's just kind of sad. But we do have an interesting game. They played week one, and Dak Prescott could not move the ball against this defense in that game. The Buccaneers have had a lot of injuries. They can't seem to block for Brady. They're missing their center, most likely not going to play. And Brady has had to pass more times in this season than he's ever had. Their offensive coaching staff doesn't appear to like to run the ball for some reason. Brady threw for He threw the ball for 733 attempts this season. Probably a career high. He broke his own record for completions. But if you watch these games, it does not seem like they can get their offense going until it kind of turns into a two-minute drill offense where Brady's running it. I don't know if it's all on Leftwich. A lot of it has to do with their personnel. But they have not been able to get into a rhythm on offense. Mike Evans had a rough year. Godwin's still there. He's finally looking like himself again. Plus, the good thing coming in to this game for the Buccaneers is just how they finally seem like they've found a sort of rhythm in the last couple games on offense for the for Brady and the Buccaneers. We've seen in the game against the Panthers, they pushed the ball downfield. Mike Evans made some really great plays. He had 3 touchdowns in one game. However, their running game has been absolutely abysmal. Fournette leads the team in rushing. He has 668 yards, 3 touchdowns. He came into the offseason out of shape, and they weren't happy about it. He stayed in the starting role and has not played well at all. Looking at the other side, we have the Cowboys. Very strange season for them. Dak Prescott broke his thumb in the first game, and then we had Cooper Rush come in and win a few games. Then all the Cowboys fans, maybe not all of them, but a lot of the Cowboys fans were saying, Cooper Rush, maybe we should just start him. He is so limited in what he can do versus what Dak Prescott can do. Your ceiling is so much lower with Cooper Rush. Just because he doesn't make mistakes doesn't mean he's going to win you games. And in the playoffs, you got to have someone that can win you a game. Now, Dak Prescott definitely does have to clean it up, and he cannot lose you the game. He has 15 interceptions, and he missed 4 games. Not good at all. Prescott has to be better at protecting the ball. Pollard had a breakout season this year. He has over 1,000 yards rushing, and he's used more in the passing game than Zeke Elliott. Now, Zeke, very good in these short down situations. Problem comes where you know what they're going to do whenever it's just Zeke out there. I like for this game to see a lot of plays with both Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott on the field at the same time. They have a lot of options they can do from that. They can run Pollard to the outside. They can run Pollard to the inside. They can pass the ball to Pollard. They can run it up the middle with Zeke. They can run a read option. They have lots of options when they're both on the field. I hope we get to see that. It's a good way that you can trick a defense into not knowing who to cover. When you have someone like Zeke and he's out there in the backfield by himself, you almost always know when they're under center, it's either going to be a run to Zeke up the middle or it's going to be a play action pass over the middle. Now, they did lose, obviously, Amari Cooper in the offseason. They traded him. I didn't think that the Cowboys improved in the offseason. However, I do think they overperformed in terms of their record for what I saw coming into the season. CeeDee Lamb, obviously, has been very good for them. Dalton Schultz has been good. And the problem has been their second wide receiver. Trying to figure out who that is. For a while, it was Noah Brown. Michael Gallup has not looked the same at all coming back from his injury. Maybe he'll look better next year. They ended up signing T.Y. Hilton, who was a surprise. He was surprising how well he played in the last couple games. Now, they absolutely got trounced against the Washington Commanders last week, and they were trying to win this game. Sam Howell started. They didn't have their Brian Robinson, their starting running back. And Dak Prescott could not find an open receiver. He threw a pick six. They couldn't run the ball. And they lost to the Commanders in a game where the Commanders didn't need it. And the Cowboys were trying hard to win for playoff seeding purposes and things like that. Now, we did also see them just a few weeks ago blow out the Vikings. We've seen them. We saw them win a really tough game against the Eagles, even without Jalen Hurts. Very, very tough game against the Eagles that they pulled out. So they have it in them. I do think a lot of it comes down to Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy. For some reason, they love to make it hard for themselves. They like to run what they run. They don't really make a lot of adjustments in game. And I do think that's a big reason what we saw last week. They were playing a very athletic defense with the Commanders. And that matched up well against the Cowboys personnel. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm picking the Cowboys in this game. I think that they'll be able to pressure Tom Brady. And Brady under pressure, he's never been that great in terms of if you get pressure up the middle. He doesn't move well to his left. He does not move well to his right, throwing on the run. If he's able to step up in the pocket and deliver a strike down the field, obviously we've seen it for 20 years. He's amazing. But I think matchup-wise, the defensive line for the Cowboys should be able to get pressure on Brady, force him to make quick throws. Cowboys should be able to just keep them in front of them and win this game. Dak Prescott's got to play better, though. Absolutely has to play better. All right. Well, that's it that I have right now. I'll go ahead and say this now that I'm thinking about it. We're talking about playoffs. Make my Super Bowl prediction just so I have it on record. I think coming into this postseason, you see a lot of teams that are just hot. You see a lot of teams that have barely made it in. I'm kind of going chalk in a lot of ways. I think that the 49ers are just, their defense alone is just absolutely trouncing people. And in the NFC, it's not nearly as good as what we've seen in the past. Now, the Eagles are the other option, I believe. The Eagles' defense is also phenomenal. Jalen Hurts has been playing lights out. He didn't look great coming off of that shoulder injury. He does have a bye week right now, so we should see him improve, I believe, coming into next week. I like for the playoffs, for the NFC, I like 49ers to come out of there. And then next from the AFC, I like the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is so experienced. He makes it look so easy. Half the time, it looks like he's just coasting. Doesn't look like he's even trying that hard. So, I like the Chiefs to come out of the AFC. I know that there's a lot of teams that can make a big run at the Chiefs, like the Bills, like the Bengals. I think Patrick Mahomes' experience, for one, the way that their defense has improved, for two, and the way that they can turn it on when they need to. We've seen it time and time again. Even if they're not playing amazing in the game, they could turn it on when they need to. And he's so good in the red zone. That's one thing that we've seen different from the Bills is they've not been great in the red zone, and their defense has been very porous. So I like the Chiefs to come out of the AFC. I think Patrick Mahomes gets another Super Bowl win. But don't be surprised if we see... let me put it this way. I would be shocked if history is made by Brock Purdy. Rookie quarterback has never won the Super Bowl, and he was the last pick of the draft. Honestly, I kind of hope it happens just because the storyline would be absolutely amazing, and imagine what his future holds for him. He's been phenomenal for them and doesn't make a lot of mistakes, which is something that in a Kyle Shanahan offense, that's all you really have to do. Just don't make mistakes. So I'm about to wrap this up. I really appreciate you for listening. We will be back again soon. I will be doing this more often. I appreciate you for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Talk to you later.